How is everyone doing? This is Sit Down with Sniper episode, where are we at? 33. Today we got one of the, I would say, original pioneers in this space because it's a great collection. But it is one of the co-founders for Dead Fellas. Psych, how are you doing, brother?
Yeah, good, Sniper. Good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you know, you've been in this space for well over a year now. Before we jump into what Dead Fellas has done, when did you start? So after looking at your profile, I seen that you've been a vector artist for a while, and I believe you've been an artist since 2008. Is that correct?
Yeah, so I would say I grew up as an artist, like signwriting and designing and things like that. And that was more so like graphic design than illustration. And then I would say I shifted into, yeah, like full-time vector art. I kind of fell in love with vector programs in university. And ever since then, I was a freelance illustrator, and then, you know, had to jump into the corporate world pretty quickly to try and actually make some money on the side of being an artist. And then that took me through for quite a long time. Yeah. And then I found myself here.
So whenever you were an artist back then, who were the people that you were looking up to? Was there anyone that you gained like inspiration from?
Yeah. So like a lot of Japanese artists or Japanese inspired artists, just with the nature of vector art, like I was always drawn to it because it was quite clean. So you look at like mascot design, you look at, Japanese inspired design, like everything's quite intentional, like shapes and silhouettes and things like that. So that always, I feel like led me in the right direction for vector art, as well as like a lot of, my name Psych, right, which was originally Psych Street Fight. I've always been drawn to a lot of like kind of mashup styles and psychedelic styles and like bright color palettes and things like that. So my name kind of was birthed through that style as well.
Okay, that's sick. I didn't know that. So what would be the factor that drew you into NFTs? Did you see other people doing it, someone bring it to you? Or was it something just something you stumbled upon yourself?
Yeah, so like after I graduated university, I moved over with Betty to Montreal, where we lived for quite a while. And while I was in Montreal, I joined an artist group called DevCore, that's run by Justin Maller, who was the creative director for DeviantArt until recently. He also is pretty active in the like NFT scene. So DevCore started kind of like refiring up, and a lot of people that I've came up with for years collaborating, like we were all professional artists, but DevCore was kind of like our safe haven to like talk about our needs as artists, and talking about like developing new styles and having critique, like open, honest critique on your work without kind of like sending it out to anywhere where you were kind of like more vulnerable. Like there was a lot of honesty and just kind of telling people if the direction they're going in probably isn't going to work out. So it was a very collaborative space, and it kind of started to cool a little bit, and NFTs popped up. And DevCore kind of just started firing on all cylinders again, which was great. We got to reconnect with a lot of artists that I've always looked up to. Like you got like Brizzo and Nook, who are both active in NFTs now as well. So that got slated for a nifty drop, the initial DevCore release. That was like a group release. And so that really inspired me to jump into the space. I was always pretty involved in crypto for a few years before that. So I think that was a barrier that I didn't really need to jump over. I already kind of knew the potential of blockchain. So yeah, I was pretty eager from the start when I started to see the potential of what it could mean for artists.
Were you in crypto at all before NFTs, or did that just come with NFTs?
Yeah, like I would say that I was just kind of like dabbling in your more like mainstream ones, like early Ethereum and like a bit of Bitcoin and just bits and pieces. I never really had the funds to like dive right in, because we were just running our own agency and things like that. So a lot of our cash we just poured back into business and things like that. But I definitely liked just like, I guess, the community around it and the technology around the different coins, and We had a, I had a Facebook group with a few friends where we just kind of talk about blockchain tech and try and educate ourselves, but pretty wild space.
Oh, damn, that's sick. Okay, so, you know, you learned about the NFTs. You knew something about crypto. I believe August 13th, and if that's wrong, I believe it's around there, of 2021 is when Dead Fellows was launched. I was actually the second person to mint out of that collection, so I was super happy about that. And it was very early on, one of the first projects that I actually got to be a part of. And I want to say this might have been the first project that I actually got to mint, actually be there and mint. And then October, the end of October, you would do the Infected Series 1. And then I believe February of this year, you would do the Dead Friends. So to kind of rewind back to 2021, August, what was it like for you and Betty to make this collection like as a couple? So did y'all sit down one day and y'all were just like, yo, this is what we're going to do? Is this something that you had been thinking about? Could you walk us through that?
Yeah. So like, I think that myself as a creator has always been like quite collaborative with B. Like I've always like run a lot of my work, like in front of her and seeing what she thinks. And then we're also co-directors on the company that we've had, for quite a while. So we've always had that collaborative relationship on the work that I do as an illustrator, and then also just, I guess, strategize between each other as well. Obviously B's very good at what she does as well. And she's actually got like a really good eye for composition and things like that, that helps me in a big way. So we're a good fit in that way. So yeah, we were just kind of sitting down together. I was talking with a few different, potential project leads, because just through being involved in the space and having a background as an agency illustrator, I was quite adaptable with the styles that I like to work in. So there was a few different people that wanted to work with me for collections of their own. And during that time when we were kind of like considering what we could work on, it just kind of came up that why don't we just do something ourselves? So I ended up having the connections through some events that we did, like with 4156, Last Punk became a friend and helped us out with some Solidity Dev. And then we had a few other parties that just kind of found through, I think one of them I found through like a banana NFT Discord. And then there was just like tons of different people that just relationships through all these different collections and NFT groups and things like that. Like it was a very, I guess, collaborative time, like, you know, what it was like. There's like 100 different Discords that all of them had something different going on. So it was just kind of like a ragtag group of professionals, but like a ragtag group in terms of like where people were located and what their backgrounds were and things like that. So, yeah, I guess circling back to your actual question is like, it was a great process. We just kind of sat down together and ran it through. The first Dead Fellow I drew was actually one of the worst drawings I've ever done in my life. It almost completely crushed my spirit. I just like started drawing a zombie and B was like, that is the worst thing you've ever drawn. I tried to find it, but I think it might be lost to the relics of an old computer. So,
oh my, I really very badly want to see this Dead Fellows, the first one ever drawn, so bad now. So what was the long-term vision at first? Like, and not even that, let me ask you this. So how many people did you start off with? I'm guessing just you and Betty, and then versus how many people you have now. Can you share with us how many people you have on the team, if you know the number?
Yeah, so I would say that it was Betty and I, and then we had a dev launch partner, and then we also had like a Solidity dev launch partner. So it was the four of us at the point of mint. And then we expanded the team internally. I think we're at about maybe 10 employees now, but across our, I guess, expanded network of people that are kind of full-time freelancers with us, and I guess, you know, like third party, like groups and studios and things like that, we might be at like 30 or so. It just depends at any one time. Where we are a young startup, right? So like we have to be quite nimble on who we do fold in as an internal employee. But yeah, it's been a pretty fast expansion.
That's awesome. Yeah. To expand like that. And like you said, this isn't some huge, huge VC, multiple VC funded thing. So even 11 people is a great thing. 10, 11 people. So, and before we get into like the infected and dead friends, whenever it comes to Dead Fellas, y'all started pretty early, like I said, August of 2021. So there weren't a lot of people there to be a blueprint of what to really be upcoming in the space. And this was near Halloween, coming up on Halloween. And I do not believe there was like any spooky projects. And that's one thing that had me super hype about this project at the time. I was like, zombies, Halloween, like it's just going hand in hand. They look good. So was there any projects or any person that y'all were looking at before launch as kind of a role model again, or kind of like a right of way, this is how we should be doing things as of right now? Or did y'all just try it with your own thoughts and say, hey, if this works, it works. If not, we'll fix it.
Yeah. So I think like there was enough to go off. And at the same time as we were definitely kind of building our own roadmap and our own kind of blueprint for how to do a launch ourselves as we were going, like Cool Cats were around, like Bored Apes, like they were doing their thing. There was who else? There was like Sewer Rats. There's like a bunch of other collections that are still moving along. Like there's what was it called? The Wizards one, like the 8-bit Wizards. There was like plenty of stuff for us to like kind of have a look at and be like, what do we want to kind of pick and mix on where we see people kind of winning and not winning. So a big thing for us was like in the space, it was quite non-inclusive with the collections and that kind of thing, especially just like for gender within the collections. So that was one thing that we did, is just completely erase gender from the collection. So there's a lot of just like ambiguous visuals to the Dead Fellas, so people can see themselves in those PFPs. And our focus from the beginning has always been, you know, digital identity and like the use of a profile picture, and then extending from that into, you know, interoperability and across like multiple areas. So if you can connect with a profile picture and that character, I feel like that it forms a connection versus just getting something because it's got like a rare trait or something like that. I think it's a more personal connection.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people make a Dead Fellas their personal like image, and they always look good. You know, you also did the Infected Series 1 and the Dead Friends earlier this year. Now, two things. One, is there going to be any more Infected, any more Dead Friends, or kind of like what is the plans with them? And then two, I guess, yeah, could you speak on if there's more plans with them? Like, are we going to see anything from Dead Friends? Are we going to get more than just Dead Friends? What can we talk about here?
In terms of like new releases, I wouldn't say that we're going to add to our ecosystem anytime soon. Like, we're definitely committed to building out the Dead Fellas brand. Dead Friends has always been intentionally being a brand extension, right? Like, it's like a lower entry point to the collection, so that people can be involved and, you know, have access to like metaverse events and things like that without having the price tag of the original collection. So we're just going to be building both out in parallel, with definitely a focus on Dead Fellas first, seeing as Dead Friends is more so a companion collection, but is important in its own way, as we have announced that we do have plans for a trading card game to kind of like be birthed off the back of Dead Friends. But that's all, you know, early days. We need to flesh a lot of things out in order to have the law in place and the partnerships in place to expand in a sustainable way, so that we can build a game out that people love to play, and that we can also like get that out into the world in a significant way.
Yo, that would be super sick to see some Dead Friends on any cards. And you're right, although a companion, this is a great way to get into the ecosystem of Dead Fellas, and they look great too. But it's super, super, I guess, confirming to me that, and other people that are holders, that, you know, you're not going to constantly like keep adding to the ecosystem. You're not going to make this 100,000 pieces overall. You know, you have the Dead Friends, you have the Dead Fellas, You're going to put work to that. And you all did that in New York recently during NFT NYC, I believe. I did not get to go to the event, unfortunately, but from the pictures posted, from what I've seen of you, and I mean, from Betty's profile, I believe, because she is doxxed. I'm not sure if you've doxxed yourself, but everything looks
like semi-doxxed.
I've seen drawings of you, if that counts, but I've never seen you, which is perfectly fine. But yes, it looked absolutely amazing. I'm talking neon lights, green everywhere. I saw the throne, just like the way it went down. I heard a lot of people talking about the Dead Fellas event. So I was going to see if maybe you could speak on that. Would a Dead Friends have got us into the party, or was it Dead Fellas only? What was it like being able to really set up an in real life event for the holders? And, you know, looking back a year ago in August versus now, you know, you're near Times Square just having a ball with, you know, thousands of people. What's that like for you?
Yeah, so the New York party went off really, really well. We couldn't have been happier with how that came together. I think that the turnout was massive. We also just were able to do a lot of storytelling and bring people into the Dead Fellas world with, like you say, like a lot of neon and just storytelling. Like, we had some great stages built out, and the live sets through the artists went down really well. We had Princess Nokia headlining, which really vibed with the community. And my friends did get you in, so it was just different tiers. Like, I would say, if you want to like kind of split down between the two collections, like I'll focus on, I guess, building out utilities in terms of Dead Fellas, is the fact that like we're working with Hologram to do like VTubing rigs, and we're working with Sandbox to do like the voxel avatars for Dead Fellas, and we've got like Pixel Fellas that are like already released for web, but like they're also IPFS hosted, so that any kind of Pixel 2D led metaverse can use those assets, right? Can just kind of tap into those and use them because they're publicly available assets. So if they want to like link those to a token and make those interoperable assets within their own like 2D game, like they can. So we're always kind of chasing the, I guess, the evolutions of interoperable assets and kind of like digital identity in terms of Dead Fellas, especially since Dead Friends, like it's very hard to try and get a platform that's in early stages to like build out rigs for dogs and frogs and things like that. So Friends are definitely focused on the eventual trading card game, and then also like being companions to Dead Fellas.
Yo, I'm every time you say trading cards, like I get more excited just because I feel like it's something that if done right, it could be absolutely so fun. You know, I was a big Pokemon, big Yu-Gi-Oh guy. So anytime I see any mention of that stuff, I get too giddy about it. but Dead Fellas has done some great things over the time. You know, we've talked about you doing NYC. You know, you've started during what was, I would say, the beginning of all this. Now, just the other day, I seen that there is a Wrangler announcement. So I know you probably can't dive too deep, but I could see myself in some nice green Wrangler jeans. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now. What's up with that? What can you tell us? I've been seeing that the Twitter has been doing a very engaging tactic, which is super, super fun with the Wranglers collab, where it allows people to pick kind of, what are them games called? Like, is it Butterfly Effect kind of thing, where you get to determine the outcome of what it is? And just seeing people pick different things or their reasoning behind it, it's gotten a lot of people involved, whether you hold a Dead Fellas or not, on Twitter. So what can you tell us about this Wrangler thing, man? It seems really cool.
Yeah, so the Wrangler collab has been really fun. It's been a great team to collaborate with. Like, the Wrangler team have been, like, really I guess, involved in that process and have been really responsive to like wanting to do cool things. And so it's like a choose your own adventure, like posted through the Dead Fellas lore and folding in the Wrangler brand. And that's been going really well. In terms of like merchandising, we would just need to leave it to when that official messaging comes out through Wrangler or Dead Fellas. But yeah.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited just because I'm hoping, and I know you can't talk on it, but I'm hoping that we see this around Halloween. Cause like I said, I'm trying to walk around town in some green pants. If that's even a thing that's coming, you know, who knows, maybe we see something, maybe we don't, but that is super cool. I've been really excited to see just what Web2 companies really dive into the space, who is still around. And, you know, right now we're in kind of a bear market. I'm not even going to say kind of, it is what it is. It's a bear market. But Deadfellas has still been going strong. So what would you say is just like the main vision for you all? You know, do you have this long-term vision of 5, 10, 20, however many years? Or, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, so I would say that, like, we definitely have, I would say, a 2 and a 5 year vision, especially with a space that moves so quickly. You almost need, like, a 1 year and a 2 year and then a 5, really. But, yeah, because, like, Betty and I, we're moving over to the States, and the company that owns Deadfellas, that we own, is going to be restructured into a US corporation. And there's like quite a lot that we're doing to like ensure that we can continue to grow as a company. So we'll be continuing to kind of develop things that are for the Web3 ecosystem, for ourselves and then also for the community at large. So yeah, I would say that the Deadfellas brand will continue to flourish. And we will also be expanding ourselves into being like tech innovators at the same time.
Yo, that's actually sick. And congratulations on the move. You know, that's a big thing. And to know that y'all are about to be, you know, over here is crazy. I don't want to ask where you're moving to because that's, you know, private info. But do you plan on doing, once you get over to the States, do you plan on doing more in real life events, rather it's just at the, you know, NFT NYC, Art Basel, stuff like that. But could this mean that we see more stuff from Deadfellas coming?
Yeah, definitely. That's the whole intention, is that we really do want to be able to show out for people. Like, our core audience is definitely in the US. So I think like it makes a lot of sense for us to be able to activate in a quicker way, in an easier way, for us as founders, and then also just for the team in general, because it's so US based. I think like most of our people are like 90% US. So yeah, I think that we'll continue to activate in real life events and then see how we can flesh that out. It's definitely a unique space for doing those live events. Like, you need to balance that off against the people that really love the space, because it is remote and it is anonymous, and people are given that space to interact and have like authentic connections, but they don't need to go to a live event. So we'll always continue to give attention to our metaverse activations and make sure that, you know, we're showing out for the people that are there for the tech and the metaverse side, and not just the live events.
So for one, that sounds like absolute dedication to me. The fact that you would move, you know, to the US just because, you know, you actually care, you know, you're actually doing things. I respect that a lot. And I'm totally forgot to mention this earlier whenever we were talking collaborations. I hands down, still to this day, I do not hold any Deadfellas as of right now, but I will say that I'm looking at Dead Friends while we're talking, and I'm probably going to pick one up just because, you know, I'm excited just for what you are building. But I still think Deadfellas has some of the most comfortable merch that you made with the hundreds. So I had my shirt and I got my hoodie. And when I tell you that the price did not even matter, that is still hands down to this day, now tied with Cool Cats because it's also the same collab, but still to this day, some of the most comfortable merch. And I always, every time I get a piece of merch, I'm always like, how does this feel to my Deadfellas hoodie, or how does this feel to my Deadfellas shirt? And every time it's just like, don't even hold up. So for one, I must applaud you on that, because that was a killer collab. The designs on it were just, everything was there, and it really made it complete. I didn't feel like I was getting the no shots at anyone, but the black and white typical font, you know, on a shirt. Got plenty of black stuff, and yeah, this might have been a black hoodie, but the green, I've gotten compliments on it. I had an older gentleman at a chicken shop ask me what Deadfellas was, and we talked for about 20 minutes, just random. My food got cold, and we just talked about like what it was. He didn't understand what NFTs or none of that was, but he legit like was like, oh, I'm gonna look this up, like looked it up on his phone, saved the page. So it's legit got me into conversations with other people. It's legit started things, and I look really damn good in it as an ugly guy. So thank you for that. Thank you for making me look better. But all of that to say, is there anyone in this space or Web2 that you are wanting to work with? And I know you can't share if you are working with people, but is there anyone that you would like to reach out to or eventually maybe like to see Dead Fellows work with them?
I think the one person that's active in the space that I'd love to work with is Murakami. Because, like, if we're going kind of folding back into inspirations, like you said, like, I had a Murakami book on my desk for probably, like, 5 out of the 10 years that I've been sat around working from home. So it was, like, Murakami Ego with this big face on the front, like a big puffy book. But, yeah, he's always been an inspiration for me with how he operates and how he creates and his inspirations and things like that.
Yo, Murakami is, I know a lot of younger kids like myself, I'm only 26. I know a lot of younger kids know him from, like, you know, the street fashion, but there is also the other side that don't understand, like, you know, that's the original Kanye graduation cover, you know, like that's Murakami exactly. Back in 07, you know, he's been around for a long time. Very, very talented artist. And honestly, every time I ask that question, I'm always curious to see what amazing groups want to work with other people. But the fact that you say Murakami is the fact that it's, I haven't heard no one say that. And that would be nuts to see a Dead Fellas Murakami anything. Oh my goodness. I'd freak the hell out. But before going over into the 5 questions that I usually do towards the end of the podcast, I do have a couple other things I want to ask you. One being, what does it mean to you to see Dead Fellas thrive, especially in a bear market? And I say thrive because I don't feel anyone in this space is, like, constantly, you know, uphill right now because everyone's so down and out. But Dead Fellas is still doing good. You know, you still have a super strong community. You still have people repping the profile pictures. What does it mean? And you're very active on Twitter. I've seen you on there. You're always responsive. What does it mean to get on Twitter, to get in the Discord, and see people use a Dead Fellas as their identity, knowing that you and Betty have really worked a lot of time in life to build this, to make this what it is? What do you think whenever you see someone rocking it, man?
Yeah, it means a lot to me, man. Like, I think that, like, Dead Fellas really, I guess, like, and I think for a lot of artists, like, that have been moving along, like, like through life, I'm going to start getting deep and meaningful, but it's like creative freedom, right? So, like, every time that we see, like, the brand thrive, it means, like, we have that opportunity to continue to build and, like, see, I guess, like, that vision that we have for, you know, like, 1 year, 2 year, 5 years down the track, like, continue to become a reality, right? So it means everything to see our community continue to thrive and people, like, continue to connect with the Dead Fellas brand and the Dead Fellas themselves and, like, use them in their own projects and that kind of thing. And I think that, we'll only be able to make that easier and easier as we go on and develop further tech and, like, allow people to, you know, use their Dead Fellas on Twitch and use their Dead Fellas on, like, different platforms and continue to build out that interoperability. I think that that's one thing that I'm going to be, super amazed to see, right? Like, even seeing people use their Dead Fellas on something like LinkedIn, like, it's just, like, incredible to see them, like, kind of, like, spread out of, like, the crypto Twitter sphere.
No, I mean, I could only imagine being an artist and coming from, you know, you're not just an artist overnight. You've been doing this for a while. Just to be able to go online and see people use it as their personal identity. You know, I've seen people that have literally almost probably never changed from a Dead Fella ever since August. And that is them. Like, you can't tell them no different. You know, people get tattoos of NFTs, stuff like that. And it's very unreal. So I guess my only last question before hopping over would be, what is next for Dead Fellas in an overall sense of, you know, are you still building? You know, the Wrangler announcement is what we have as of right now, but what can we see? What's up next? You know, is it just a wait and find out, or, you know, is there some things coming up the line after Wrangler?
Yeah, well, I would say, like, it's gonna have to be a little bit generalized, but, like, we do have, like, multiple partnerships that are, you know, ready to ready to go and ready to announce, but they just need to like be given their own time to shine, right? So Wrangler is our amazing partner for right now, but there'll definitely be more things on the horizon, especially with Halloween coming up. Like that's always like our high traffic season, our time to shine. So we've definitely got plans there. In terms of a company, like I said, like we're shifting to the US and expanding there, and then we'll be moving into like a tech focus as a company there to kind of like build out some additional, I guess, expansions to the company and what we focus on. While at the same time building out the Deadfellas brand for being like a digital identity and cultural icon of the Web3 world. I think that, you know, we always want to be mainstays on a cultural front as well. Just like the attitude of Deadfellas, trying to keep that grassroots and artist-led vibe of, you know, keeping that like decentralized attitude, like trying to look after people, respecting people that are around you and that kind of thing, which has always been super important for us from the start. Just making sure that while sometimes the themes are subversive and we don't all the time like shout from a mountain that, you know, you need to do this and this, like in terms of diversity and things like that, we do, you know, continue to strive to make sure that we do have some strong mission statements on how we conduct ourselves. So that'll be us, just continue to thrive and build while trying to stay true to what our roots are.
Dude, I love this conversation so much that I want everybody listening to know that I just bought a Dead Friend. I had to pick up number 1662. So psych, man. I mean, and this isn't just because we're doing this. It's definitely because I'm learning more and more just like how great Deadfellas is. You know, whenever I first saw it coming to the scene, everybody was so genuine. Anytime I've seen you on the Twitter, you've been really responsive. I've talked to Betty before. Super, super nice woman. So that's lovely. And I want to say this toad that I just got, maybe one day I'll see it on a trading card and that'll be so amazing. But I can't thank you enough. And before we do go to the five questions, is there anybody that you would like to thank for Deadfellas? You know, Betty, I know that is one person that's been huge to you in your life. But anyone else that you'd like to thank before we transition?
Yeah, definitely. I guess like I've got to always thank the community. Thank everyone that was there for us like when we first started. Thank you to everyone that has been with us since. You know, like at the end of the day, when you've had a bit of a rough day or you've been just like smashing through work, and then you get to hang out in a Discord and it's a positive place to be. That's like definitely like as a founder, or even I'm sure the team feel the same way and the mods feel the same way. Like just the positivity and the connections in that community, and just being able to sit in there and like just have a chat with people that you authentically like they're not just disconnected people in a chat room. I think that goes a long way for helping us like stay inspired as founders. So the community is always you know, a big thing for us. Obviously I like to thank Betty. UTA have been really good for us. Like they've been a great team from the beginning. They've gone to bat for us with multiple things, continue to look after us and make sure that we can thrive as a long-term brand. I thank Wrangler for the current collab. They've been a great team. And thank you to everyone else that we're currently working with that I can't actually mention. So, yeah. Hopefully that's enough thank yous.
Let's go, man. No, I love it. And I will say that I told someone the other day, I was like, yo, this Wrangler thing has me so excited for one, because if y'all do drop merch, yo, I love my Levi's, but damn, is Levi's getting to like $100 a pair? I know Wrangler is a little bit more decently priced for me. So I'm going to be excited if y'all drop something. But I will say, this is the part where we get to the five questions. I usually ask everybody the same thing. Number one, starting off with a heartfelt question. What is the most important thing to you in your life?
I'd say family.
Family? Is it just you and Betty definitely right now? Or do y'all have any kids? Now, if this is too much, you could tell me to shut up.
No, it's okay. We openly talk. We openly talk about it. We've got three daughters.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. You know what? I honestly had never known, but that is so beautiful. I did not know that you had this kind of a big family, man. That's what's up. Are they old enough to know that, you know, what Dead Fellas is? I mean, what Dead Fellas are? Do they enjoy the art?
Yeah, they do. Our middle daughter's like kind of like the dark and moody one. Like, she likes all the villains from Disney. She loves like the, she was always asking for metal to be put on in the car and stuff like that. So she definitely connects with it the most out of our daughters.
Oh yeah, man, that's sick. I mean, just to think that, oh yeah, like, you know, who are your parents? It's like, oh yeah, they made Dead Fellas. It's like, mind blown, man. That's beautiful. It's such beautiful to have a family like that, and I'm glad you do. Number two, what is an obstacle that you have overcome that has helped you get to where you are today, rather it be Web3 or just life in general?
An obstacle. So I would say that, like, I definitely went through a rough period of a while there while I was working like for a few different agencies and probably just like overworking to a point. Just like working like 80 hours a week and just like put up with a lot of, I guess, like abusive behavior through like different management and things like that. And I think that like slowly just kind of pushing through to the other side, you know, cause it was like essentially depression. Like, you end up kind of like, overworking, you end up just kind of like throwing yourself into your work and you end up tunnel visioned and you just kind of just like cranking through hoping to get to the other side. But like, I think the obstacle is just realizing that, you know, there is no other side. Like, if you're just going to keep on pushing through and taking more contracts and like burying yourself in work, then there is no real end to it. So I think that doing a big switch up at the tail end of that, and then just like just being really focused on like what were the healthy connections that I had, like what were the clients that respected our work and that kind of thing, and just going for more high quality, respectful relationships in a working space versus just the more exploitative ones. That's definitely been something that you know, took a while to kind of realize, but it was definitely a hurdle that meant a lot to me, and I continue to, you know, like kind of strive professionally for those same relationships now.
And you hear people say pretty often that NFTs are the first thing that really gives artists a lot of control, and it really sounds like Dead Fellas was exactly that. Like, it gave you control over everything. You weren't in any abusive relationships. You were able to work your own hours. Like, you didn't have to do 80 hours a week if you didn't, you know what I'm saying? So is that what this was? Was Dead Fellas a really good escape for you?
Yeah, 100%. I would say that as we were coming into doing Dead Fellas, I would say that I was already in a transitionary period of like having like clients that we're really happy with, and like we're building up some really healthy relationships there. Like, we started a new agency structure in Australia and stuff like that, and that was going really well. But I think it was almost like Dead Fellas was like an evolution again on top of that. And it was just complete creative freedom, and also just the freedom to create and also like envision without real boundaries, right? Like you said earlier in the conversation, there's no real blueprint to the space. So everything that we're doing is something that we can help someone else follow after us and hopefully build and improve on what we've done as well. So I think that's what's really, really nice, is that everything's just so creative, even in a strategy sense and a like company structuring sense. And just everything we do has some creativity to it, because there's just nothing to really base a lot of this on.
Wow, that's crazy. I definitely feel like that has a play in the success here, is the fact that you were able to do what you wanted to do the way you wanted to do it, and you didn't have no one over top of you telling you or being abusive. So that's a beautiful thing, and I definitely love that, to hear about Dead Fellas. Hopefully everyone listening understands like how big that is too. Number three, this is a kind of a more laid back one. So when you leave the house to go out, you know, rather it be to the movies, just going out for the day, what are at least three necessities that you need to take with you? You know, most people obviously have the phone, the wallet. Is there anything that always stays on the body? Like, are you someone that always has to keep a pocket knife? One person said they always keep a razor. Does Psych keep anything on him?
I guess like you say, phone. What else have I got? I've got these earrings that I can't technically take out because you need pliers to get them out of the ears. So I guess I can say those earrings. They're just like the large gauge ones. So they've just been in for years because I've never gotten around to buying the pliers that you need to get them out. And what else? I guess I've got some green Birkenstocks, the plastic ones, that are like my guilty pleasure. They're the most comfiest shoes that I've ever owned.
Are Birkenstocks actually comfortable, man? I mean, everyone keeps telling me to get a pair. They said that about Crocs too, man, and I'm not buying it with the Crocs. So what about Birks?
So I don't want to fade Birkenstocks because I don't actually like the ones that are cork, like the ones that you kind of like traditionally like see people wearing. They're like these green foam ones that are just invincible, man. Like I said, like we've got three daughters, so it's like coffee gets spilled on them or the kids like throw up on them or something, you just like give them a rinse and they just keep on cracking, and they're the best comfiest shoes I've ever worn. So there's my Birkenstocks plug for the I need to go get a sponsorship.
Yes, you do. Some green Birks.
And they're green.
Oh my god, that's what I'm saying. See, all they have to do is throw a Dead Fellas logo on there and we got ourselves something we're working with.
Exactly.
Number four would be, and I don't want to hear I'm already too old because I know you're not. What is one thing that you want to do before you get too old?
One thing. All right. I've always wanted to like climb just like the high areas of is it Machu Picchu and just like those spaces. I think that it'd just be great to explore the world. Our daughters are quite young, so I think like as they get a bit older and we're able to just kind of like bring them on, I guess, the more dangerous trips, but also leave them at home if they don't feel like it and they just want to stay home and play video games, I think we're going to have pretty adventurous, I guess, holidays. I think one of the first things Betty bought me when we first started dating was the skydiving ticket. So we definitely like lean towards doing exciting things.
Yo, skydiving is on my bucket list. We can do it here in Kentucky somewhere, apparently. And whenever I find out where and with who, I'm definitely going to be going skydiving. And I did want to ask real quick, you know, you said you just mentioned holidays, so I have to ask. Last year, you were around for Halloween, but Dead Fellas weren't as big as they are now. Now, I have a feeling you have to go, like, all out for Halloween this year at home. Do you see yourself going crazy for Halloween this year?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we've got quite a large Halloween event in LA this year.
Oh, sick.
Dead Fellas. And then also we'll be in LA for then. We'll be already moved for October.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
So we'll be.
So I will say for the last one, this is the banger. And I know that, so for founders, this question is like a little like toss up because you have your own stuff. So if I gave you 200 ETH and you had to spend it on NFTs, what are some big purchases or plays that you would make? And I'm asking you this as you being a collector of art, not a founder of a project. If you can even discuss that. I know sometimes it's a little conflict.
I think from the art side, like I definitely collect from friends like Thank You X and like a few other, I guess, like really high tier like artistic NFT artists in the space. And I think that like I would love to have a CryptoPunk. I feel like I've missed the train there. Just like collect a lot of different things in my collecting history. But yeah, I think that if I had 200, I'd love to have a CryptoPunk.
A CryptoPunk. You know what? I don't know what it is. And I honestly can't tell you because I just talked to Spotty yesterday and I was like, damn, I really want a fucking CryptoPunk after this. Andrew Wang got one. I was like, damn, bro, why is everybody like, what is going on? I think CryptoPunk is the one thing that like I want. And I don't know why. Maybe it's the FOMO. Maybe it's because I missed it. But CryptoPunks is definitely one thing. But other than that, man, I mean, that really does it for us today. Now, this wasn't, you know, as long as the usual podcast, but I felt like we talked on a lot of things. And for you being in this space as long as you have. You know, you've done a lot of great, you've helped a lot of artists, you've helped a lot of people in general. And yo, it's been super fun to see what the Dead Fellas have made. So is there any closing thoughts that you can leave us with? You know, we know that you're building, we know that you're going strong, but just a couple words to leave us on, man.
You put me on the spot. I'm a very elegant speaker.
No, you're good. You're good.
I would say, like, it's an honor to keep on building with everyone. I think that the last few months is probably some of the most fun I've had, actually. Like, I've been able to have a lot of quality conversations rather than constantly fielding like scams and stuff. So yeah, I think that thanks for sticking around through a bear market. I think in general, like, not just within Dead Fellas, but just the creators as well. Like, I think that's what keeps it special. Like, just the whole ecosystem. And when you think about people talking about a metaverse, like, I always see that as being like a tapestry of being like tons of different platforms, tons of different creators, like lots of different like assets and creative styles and things like that. So I think that, you know, just everyone needs to, you know, be in there for the right reasons, like stay passionate and keep on creating. And I think that, you know, we'll get to the other side and see the fruition of the space as the tech and the onboarding for the Web3 space continues to improve and we gain mass adoption. And I think it's going to be a beautiful thing. And it's just great to see people continue to create and do their own thing.
Look at that, man. Pressure makes diamonds. I put him on the spot. And he gave me an absolutely amazing answer. Bro, that was perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. such a humble guy, such a great artist. You know, congratulations to you and Betty on moving over to the States when that happens. You know, you and your family, huge thing you're doing here. And to be able to do it and not have millions and millions of dollars just handed over to you is not only hard, but I salute you for what you've been able to do. Like I said, I'm super excited to hopefully jump into some green Wrangler jeans somehow. And dude, I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. You know, we had a funny conversation before we started recording and it just shows me, man, you know, time moves so fast in this space, but it's really been fun. And I can genuinely say that this is one of the best projects in the sense of communities and founders just actually caring about the people inside of it, in their server, their mods, you know, everyone around. So from me to you, thank you, man. I hope you have a great day. Stick around because I actually have to talk to you after this. But yeah, man, thank you for Dead Fellas. And if you're good, we can go ahead and wrap it up.
Yeah, cool. Thanks for having me on, Sniper. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, brother. Everyone listening in, I just want to say thank you so much. We'll be having more episodes lined up. I know we had a brief pause there for a little bit due to health, but we're all good now. Hopefully, and we should be able to put them out every Monday after this. We have Mike Mongo coming up, and we also have Will from The Littles, so stick around for that. And I hope everyone has a great day. Peace out, and we'll talk to you next week. See you.